One little verse in John 17, as Jesus has prayed for the disciples, he's prayed, talked to them concerning the things that would happen in the end times. He has prayed for himself and what he would be enduring. And he's prayed for all believers, or he will right after this. But in this one verse, John 17, 15, in the midst of all this, he says, I do not pray that you should take them, the disciples, out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. I want to read that again, and where he is praying immediately about his disciples, he also is speaking on behalf of all those who would follow, who would believe in his name. I do not pray that you should take my believers out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. No matter what your view is on the rapture, I believe this is an important verse. It tells you what Jesus' attitude was towards tribulation, persecution, and trial. He prays to the Father and he says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. And I think it's a good prayer for us that we would pray, Lord, I'm not asking that you take me out of the world, but I'm asking that you would keep me from the evil one. Turn backwards to Luke chapter 21. Luke 21, verses 31 through 36. 34 through 36. Luke 21, 34. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Pray that you will be counted worthy to escape, or to be kept from the evil one, to be kept from the attack of the enemy that is to destroy the people of God during this time that he is speaking of here. Now we'll turn to 2 Timothy at the very end. It's a very clear message, very clear word. I just had on my heart as I ponder on these things and I think on these things, the Lord was ministering some things to me, and I want to talk to you about what matters this morning. The title of the message is Don't Be Cavalier. These things do matter. Don't be cavalier. These things do matter, and I will explain that in a moment. You know, it matters. A lot of Christians, I think, need to hear this word today. I listen. One of the things I do as a pastor and as a shepherd, not only with my own flock, but I listen to the things people say. And sometimes I may not say a word, but then I process those things later before the Lord and allow the Lord to help me to filter them through his word. And I get an understanding for where people are and what they are saying and what they are thinking. And sometimes it reveals trends that to me are troubling. Sometimes it's I learn new things. Sometimes it's things that the Lord is showing me, but many times there are things that the Lord would have his shepherds address in the kingdom. And it matters. I want to just stress this morning, and you may wonder, why are you stressing this? But I think it will be clear in a moment. It matters. It matters what you think about these things that are coming. Specifically, these end time things. It matters what you think about prophecy. It matters what you think about the end times. It's not just something to occasionally hear a sermon about a prophetic theme. It literally matters. It can mean life and death. It matters what you think, what you believe, why you believe it, and why you even think it's important whether you should believe it or not. It matters what you think about the things that are spoken of in the Word of God that are going to come as a snare upon all those who live upon the earth. It matters that Jesus would not have addressed so much of it in his teachings. You need to know what the Bible teaches about the end times and why it's important to know it. There are a lot of people who know a lot of different theories and think that is all important, but they don't even know why it's important to know it. Why do they need to know it, whether these things are so or not? I've discovered in these last few years, as I see things coming about, I've discovered a cavalier attitude among many Christians. And cavalier means that it's nonchalant. It's they kind of dismiss it. It's dismissive. It's sort of like a side issue, and it doesn't really concern them very much. They're saved. They've got their ticket to heaven. They trust God, and that's all that matters. So it doesn't matter about the politics of the day. It doesn't matter about these things that the Word says. It's like the end time teachings are optional. It's like they don't have bearing upon our immediate life and the way that we serve the Lord. And many will say, that's just too political. If you preach a sermon that goes in the direction of the things that are happening today in our country, they begin to say or think, that's too political. I didn't come to church to hear a political message. Beloved, one third of the Bible is about prophetic things. One third of the Bible is prophetic, and almost all prophetic things have to do with political things. You cannot take politics out of the Bible. We've turned it into something that is separate and that is unrelated. But from the Garden of Eden until the second coming of the Lord and beyond, the gospel and the work of God in the earth is all about God's kingdom versus man's kingdom. And how is man's kingdom expressed? Through the politics, the governmental issues of the people of this world apart from the things of God. God has a kingdom. God has his politics. And there's a kingdom of man from the, especially from the Tower of Babel and the rise of Babylon. We see man building kingdoms and political systems that are at war with the things of God and with God himself. And we find that God wars against those systems himself. And we find that much of the Bible concerns this. David cries out in the Psalms, you know, why do the wicked prosper? And he talks about the governments of the world. He talks about the leaders who are in opposition against God and all of these things. They want to cast off the bonds that he puts upon them. The Word says they don't want his government. They don't want his politics. They don't want his confinement. They don't want his rules. And so they are at war against God. And many Christians just buy into this thought of, well, that's too political. My faith is private. I have a private faith. It's a separate thing. It has nothing to do with the world around me or what I think about political systems or the government of our day. But if you study the Word of God, you cannot separate your belief in the Lord Jesus Christ from what you think about politics, elections, and everything in between. You cannot separate. You must filter those things through the lens of the Word of God to live your life as a Christian in the midst of this secular society in which we live. Scripture applauds the sons of Issachar in the Old Testament, saying that they understood the times. They understood the times. They had understanding of the times. Well, what does it mean to have understanding of the times, except that you understand what God is doing in your time and you understand what the world is doing in your time? And to understand what the world is doing in your time, you must look at its politics, you must look at its religions, and you must look at its cultural aspects. And you will gain an understanding of what the signs are, what the seasons are in the time in which you're living. Jesus, on the other hand, scolded the Pharisees. He says, you know how to tell the weather by the signs in the sky, but you do not know how to read the signs of the times. He said you must be able to read the signs of the times. And you'll hear even Christians say, oh, you talk about signs. People have always talked about signs. They've always said he was coming soon. And it's always been this way in every generation. You know, when I hear people say, oh, for 2,000 years, people have said, oh, he's coming right now. All the signs are fulfilled and all of that. I think that just shows your ignorance of history. Because that is not true. There have been many times in history when believers knew that there were things that had to happen that had not happened yet, and they watched for those signs to be fulfilled. And likewise, there were times in which there was much confusion. Only a few generations ago, Christians read the New Testament, and where it says that Israel will be reborn as a nation, and it says it figuratively, that when the fig tree buds again, you'll know that the time is near. And they would read that and they would say, that can't speak of Israel. It can't mean Israel. It's impossible. Israel has been scattered throughout all of the world. This will never happen. And lo and behold, in 1948, Israel became a nation again. And she's still flying her people back from all over the world, from hidden places, from tribes in the bush country. She's flying her people back to Israel, and God's word stands true. Where is America today? Jesus told a parable. We find ourselves in so many places in the Word of God. Jesus told a parable of the rich man. His crops, his fields began to produce bountifully. And so he said, what will I do? It's producing more than I can use. And so he builds a big barn. And then he fills that barn and he says, wow, I'm doing so well, I need to build another barn. So he builds bigger and bigger barns to house all of the wealth that he is accumulating for himself. And then when he has all that he needs or thinks he needs, he sits back and he says, I don't need anything. I will eat, drink, and be merry. And the Lord says, you fool, tonight your soul will be required of you. That, beloved, is America. That is America. We have built our barns, we have accumulated, and we have stored up for ourselves, and now we want to sit back. Just when we think we can sit back in comfort, now all hell is breaking loose. God is saying, you need to take heed, church, because your soul can be required of you at any moment. And he's showing us signs, he's showing us things that are happening all around us. And much of the church doesn't want to listen. Doesn't want to hear. We don't want to hear about prophecy. There are multitudes of churches in this land today that never, ever, ever preach on prophecy or speak on prophecy. It's never mentioned. Neither do they speak about the blood of Jesus Christ or how to be saved. They tell you how to have a good life and how to feel good about yourself and have great self-esteem and have a life of values perhaps. But there's no mention of sin or salvation or the blood of Jesus Christ. The church doesn't want to learn about prophecy in many places. The church many times, and I find that I hear Christians, they don't want to hear about trends. They don't want to hear about what's happening in the land that may bear witness to something that is spoken of in the Word of God. I'm here to tell you this morning, I'm just challenging something, and I know that there are very few here this morning. We have, hopefully others will listen to the live stream or to the message later. But there are many in the church today who dismiss all of these things and think they're irrelevant or that they are conspiracy theories and they have nothing to do with your life in Christ. I'm telling you, the Bible says you're to be a student. And you must be educated in the things of God. And one third of the things of God have to do with prophecies that have either been fulfilled or are yet to be fulfilled. And that we are to know and understand the times in which we're living, and we're to be able to read the signs of the times. And there's a reason for it, and I will give you those in just a moment. But I hear things, and I know that people dismiss, like if we talk sometimes about things like the UN 2030 agenda. I'm asking you this morning, how much do you know? And you may say, well, I don't care to know. How much do you know? You don't have to know. You don't have to be a college teacher on it and to be able to teach it to anyone. I'm just asking you, how much do you know about what's happening in your politics in your nation and in the world today? How much do you know about the United Nations 2030 agenda, which has been moved up to 2024, I think? Every nation has signed on to it, including ours, which drives us towards a socialistic / communistic world in which all classes are done away with in order to, you know, there will always be the rich in government, even in a socialistic or communistic country. But everyone will simply receive their allotment from the government, and they won't be able to prosper and accumulate, even as God's word says that we should be able to do. Every aspect of your life to be controlled by the government. It includes the Great Reset, which is a reset of the economic and financial systems of this world so that we have one currency, one economic system throughout the world. It's a reset of the educational system so that everything, we've already pretty much done it in America, but everything will be linked together to feed, educate our children about this one world order and about a secular world in which God has no place. How much do you know about the disasters? And you'll say, oh, you are getting political. The disasters, I'm not exaggerating, the disasters that are being wrought right now by the Biden administration upon this nation, and very few even take notice. You find very little challenging of what they're doing right now. And it violates laws, it violates the Constitution, it violates everything that we have known as a nation. It is to drive us into a place where people need the government to come in and rescue them, bail everybody out, and become the big papa that has all of the money and controls everything in the country. Or you say that's too political. The Bible has a lot to say about it. I'm not saying that you need to watch the news every day. I'm saying you need to know what's going on. You need to at least scan the headlines. You need to know what they're doing. You need to know. You say, well, why do I need to know? I trust the Lord. Well, you know, then why did Jesus tell you to know the signs? Why did Jesus give you all these directions about what was going to happen if it doesn't matter if you don't know what's going to happen? Why didn't he just say, don't worry about the future, it's going to get bad, just trust me. All you need to know is how to trust me. Why did he say, watch for these certain signs? Why did he say, watch and pray? Why does he want you to know what's going to happen? Why did Jesus say that you should know about specific things that are coming in the future? I'm going to tell you a few reasons that I believe he gave us specific directions. Number one is to keep your focus on his coming, because you're going to see it get bad. And if you don't know that he has already spoken about these things, given us markers, signs, that we can recognize, oh, this is where we are in this plan. This is where we are in the events that are coming, that you would be overwhelmed. But he gives you things to know and to see so that you can watch and you can keep your eyes on him. Amen. And not lose hope. Amen. Because the closer you get and the further you get into these things, the closer you know you are to his coming, because you know the order. Yes. Of the events that he has outlined. Yes. Number two, you may save your own life. Now, don't be super spiritual and say, well, oh, it doesn't matter. My life doesn't matter because I'll be with the Lord. That's not the attitude of the apostles. That's not the attitude of the early church. Yes, they were willing to lay down their lives for the glory of Christ and the gospel. But I want you to understand the apostle Paul preserved his own life wherever he could. Yes. He protected his own life, even using legal means.
Yes.
Bringing to bear arguments. He said, is it lawful for you I'm a Roman citizen. Is it lawful for you to beat me this way in order to use a loophole to get out of being beaten on one occasion? He used everything at his means. He fled the city over the wall in a basket one time. He used every means he had to preserve his life. Why? Because God has a purpose for your life here.
Yes.
He has a plan. He has his plan that you're a part of, and it involves you fulfilling what he created you for, and it you being a display of his glory and his power in the earth until this point. What point? The Apostle Paul knew the Holy Spirit bore witness to him when it was time for him that he was finished.
Yes.
And he said, I have run the race. I have finished the course, and now there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
The Apostle Paul sought to preserve his life until he had done everything God had created him to do, and he knew it then. It bore witness by the Holy Spirit that his time was up. He had finished what he was called to do. So until you can say, God has borne witness with my spirit, by his Holy Spirit, that my time is finished. I have finished the course. I have run the race. You have something left to do. You still have a calling. You still have glory to bear witness to him. You still have to be a witness in the earth where you are. Until the Lord calls you home. He's the one. Listen to me. He's the one who says your time is up. Not you.
Yes.
He's the one who says now it's time for you to come home. But see, this isn't about just saving your own life. You may say, well, Jesus said if you save your own life, you will lose it. That is in Greek, the psuche, the soul life. In other words, your flesh nature. You try to save self, you're going to lose everything. That's what Jesus was saying. And it's not about trying to protect your physical life. It is about being whom God has called you to be. You, a redeemed person in Christ. You're saving your life in Christ until he says it's been used to the fullest. But number three, more importantly than your own, you may protect or save someone else's life. You may yet bring somebody else into the kingdom, save their life and their eternity. You may yet be used by the Lord to hear a word from God. Listen, when tribulation comes, you may hear the word of the Lord come to you telling you where the next place of safety is. And then you will be able to share that with your family or with someone else who does not know. So you may save someone else's life in a time of persecution. In a time of persecution when you know that it may cost your life to be in a certain place. And the Lord says, I'm giving you a safe place over here. And you see someone going in the wrong direction, a brother in the Lord or a sister in the Lord. You may say, I have a word from God. Come go with me. Or it may be about providing food, sharing what you have with someone else. Maybe you're going to save someone else from starving because God has spoken a word to you and because you understand the times in which you're living. Beloved, these are serious matters. They're not to be dismissed, not to have a cavalier attitude. These are things that the Lord has given us a pathway. He's given us a roadmap, and all the way through the Word of God, all tying together. All of this prophecy bears witness to what we need to know about the things that are coming.
Amen.
Upon the earth.
Amen.
You're here to be a witness, and you're here to be an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, or another area in which it matters what you think and what you know about God's overall plan for the future. Now, I've been talking about his specific outline of future events that Jesus gives and others give in the Word of God, but that is in context just part of a big plan that began before the Garden of Eden and will continue after Jesus comes again. So I want to ask, I'm testing you this morning. I want to ask you, I want to give you a little test, and I want you to answer out loud. And I believe that you're students of the Word. Most of you know these things, but some who are listening will not. And I'm going to ask you, do you know the basic plan? Are you a student of prophecy? Just basic prophecy. Can you tell me God's basic plan for the future? You don't have to say, well, I don't know if I'm pre-trib or post-trib and or premillennial and postmillennial, all these things you've heard people say. What do you think the order of events is from your reading of the Word of God? What do you think is going to happen from now into eternity? Can you give me a basic Bible outline? Can you tell me about the one world government that is going to arise? What are the marks of it going to be? Can you tell me about the one world economic system that's going to arise? How do we know there's going to be a one world economic system? Can you take me somewhere in the Word and can you explain to me why we know there's going to be a one world economic system? Why do we think that it's going to be cashless? That it will all be a digital system or something like that. Where do we get that from? Why do we think that? And what about this one world religious system that's going to happen? What is that about? What do you think this one world religious system will be? Do you know where that is in the Word of God? Why do you think that there's going to be these three earmarks of these last days on earth? One world government, one world religion, and one economic system. Can you tell me about the rise of the Antichrist? If you're here, how you will recognize him? Do you know what will be the earmarks of the Antichrist? What will cause you to think this is the Antichrist? What will he do? What are the main things that he will do? What is the system that he will implement? And what will he do to Christians in this world? And who is the false prophet? For there are two beasts in the book of Revelation. There's the Antichrist and his false prophet. Who is this false prophet? What does he do? You think this is far out stuff. It doesn't matter. It's going to matter very soon. It's going to matter very soon whether you can recognize these things. Don't just depend on the church and other Christians. That will be important, but you need to be able to know or else you can be deceived very easily. What about the time of the greatest tribulation? We call it the Great Tribulation. There has always been tribulation, but there will be the greatest tribulation that has ever been known on the face of the earth. What can you tell me about the Great Tribulation? Do you know these things kind of in order? The coming of the Lord. What will the day of the coming of the Lord be like? And what happens at Armageddon? For I think that most Christians believe there's this incredible battle at Armageddon and all of these things happen when in reality all of the nations of the world are going to be gathered against Jerusalem and against God, and Jesus is going to come on a white horse, and with the word of his mouth, he's going to destroy every bit of it.
Yes.
And then what about the wrath of God? What is the wrath of God? When is that poured out? Why is that poured out? And what is the 1,000-year reign of Christ from Jerusalem? Why is it different from the rest of time? What happens during the 1,000-year reign of Christ from Jerusalem? These aren't complicated things where you have to believe in one camp or another camp. These are basic things in the Word of God that Jesus will reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. What will happen during those 1,000 years and what will be the earmarks of that time? And at the end of that time, did you realize it's not until the end of the 1,000-year reign that Revelation speaks, and I beheld New Jerusalem, the city of God, descending from heaven like a bride adorned for her husband, for her groom. And the city of God descends to earth and God makes his home with man. It's a new earth. He recreates or destroys and recreates. It is a new heaven and a new earth. John says, behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And he saw the new city and he saw Christ, the light of that city. And God reigns with man God lives with man forever and ever for all of eternity. What happens to Satan? What happens to the demons? When does hell come in? What is the lake of fire? Do you know these things? And can you tell me, can you give me a brief description of the city of God? What is in that city? It's beautiful beyond compare. You may know that it has streets of gold, transparent gold like glass that we've never seen. What else is in that city? It matters. It matters. Don't be cavalier. These things matter. And lastly, it matters what you think about God's provision for you during this time. His power and His provision and your walk of faith. It matters. You can't really discuss or get to that until you understand what's coming. To know what to be praying for and the kind of strength and what the Lord might do in your life during a time like that. It matters what you have in your arsenal of faith. Because by faith we have access to many things. You know, over the years of time, believers all the way from Adam and Eve forward, from the garden forward, believers have accessed the riches of God through faith. God has answered from His storehouse of heaven with untold, just countless examples of His goodness and His faithfulness to protect, to provide, to intervene. All the promises in the Word of God are for things that are stored up in heaven, answers to your prayer. And when the tribulation comes, God still has, it will not be used up, God still has a warehouse filled with provision for you to meet your needs no matter what the time is that's coming. But it must be accessed by faith, through faith, through a cultivated faith which comes through study of the Word of God, comes through being a student and understanding these things. Am I saying that you have to understand everything about the end times to believe God for a miracle in the end times? No. But I'm telling you that if you don't understand the basics, and if you don't understand, if it doesn't matter to you that your country is going down a sinkhole, and other things are coming in, and that it all fits in with this, and you're not aware, you don't watch. Jesus said, watch. Watch. Did He say watch the news? No, not exactly. But I would think part of watching today, that's the easiest way for us to know some of what's going on. Watch, somehow get the headlines. Somehow find out what's happening around you. Watch and listen to what people are saying. Listen to the things they're repeating that come through the news and through the media that are just outright lies, just slogans and things that people think. You know, for years we've heard, and it goes back to America's pride, this building of bigger barns. When 9/11 happened, what did they say? Instead of repenting, they said, we'll build back bigger and better. We'll build back bigger and better. And did you know that that one phrase is part of the UN's 2030 agenda? You're hearing it on the news right now. Part of Biden's plan is build back better. Build back better is part of the 2030 agenda that is tied to socialistic things and tied to world control of this country. There are all kinds of things that people just think, oh, that sounds good. And they go around saying it. And they get adamant about it to their family and friends. They've not even bothered to study it out. Study. Understand these things. Don't be afraid of being called a kook or believing conspiracy theories. It's easy to separate conspiracy theories from things that are so obvious it slaps you in the face. And there is enough reality slapping us in the face right now. You don't have to worry about the conspiracies. Jesus prayed not that the Father would take us out of the world, but that He would keep us from the evil one. So once again, it matters what you know. It matters what you know. And if you're a person, I'm trying to be practical here. If you don't like to read, you say, I can't read. Then go online, ask us if you're not sure, you might be misguided and get some wrong information, but find good solid Bible teachers and listen to their teachings. And you can find out important things that you need to know. Do you know God's promises for you in the tribulation? Do you know what He promises those who are in a time of tribulation? Do you already know? Do you have it in your arsenal of faith? What are His promises to you if there's no food in a time of tribulation? You know, this is hitting me in the face harder than ever. I've known it most of my life. But I'm just realizing this reality of, I mean, we see empty shelves now and we don't know what's coming. But it would be very easy for us. Let me make a disclaimer here. I am not saying that the shot is the mark of the beast or anything except just a precursor to give us an idea of how they want to control you. But how easy would it be now that they want to tie travel to the vaccine? Can't travel without a vaccine. They're wanting to do that. What about when you can't walk into a supermarket because you don't have a vaccine? It's only one step further then to make it the mark. What are you going to do? I mean, this is hard and it's nitty gritty, but this is something every single one of you are going to be faced with this choice if we live long enough. What are you going to do when it is so deceptive and so smooth and this is for the good of everybody that you take this mark? This is for the good of it's for everybody's safety that you take this mark. And you don't take it. Look at what some places in the country, how they treat people who don't wear a mask or aren't vaccinated. And the statements that have been made by some of our leaders that those who aren't vaccinated ought to be round up and shot. Yep. Well, just wait until you have to choose. If I take this mark, or if I don't take this mark, I can't go in a supermarket anymore. I can't buy anything. Can't buy any food. Can't buy any gas for my car. Can't escape to the mountains because I don't have gas and can't buy it. I've got children crying at my feet for food. And I'm faced with obeying God or obeying man. So what has God promised you if there's a time like that and there's no food? When the mark is required, what has He promised you if you are faithful to Him? When the day comes that the money is no good, the Bible says it this way, it'll take a bag of gold to buy just a piece of bread. Money will be worthless. When all nations hate with a vengeance every follower of Jesus, when neighbors around you are just waiting to discover if you believe in this Jesus so they can turn you in. Because you had a secret meeting in your house. when you're, some of us that are a little older in here, think about this. When your medicine supply is cut off. When you can't keep your blood sugar under control, when your blood pressure is going to go through the roof because there's no blood pressure medicine for Christians. When violent people threaten you all around on every hand, it matters what you know. It matters what you know. His scriptures are filled. I want to leave you encouraged. His scriptures are filled with promises for that time and for now. His hand. Just study his hand. Study God's hand. His right arm and his right hand. His hand will sustain you. He will carry you over troubled waters. He will keep you protected during times of trouble. His right hand will be upon you. And if God's hand is upon you, nothing can touch you. His angels will be given charge of you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. If you're in Christ and if you know what to ask for, if you even know the promises are there. For years throughout history, missionaries have gone on the mission field. And there's so many stories of divine protection. I believe all of that's going to be magnified. I think of Patton, the missionary that went to the New Hebrides Islands many, many years ago and ministered among the cannibals there. And how a chief sent these men to kill him during the night. And when they came, his tent was surrounded with brilliantly lit figures dressed in white, tall men dressed in white, and they were afraid and they ran away. And the chief sent back more men the next night, and there were triple the number of beings around this man's tent the next night. And when finally they asked, the chief asked the missionary, "Who are these people that are around your tent at night?" The missionary says, "I don't even know what you're talking about." Because he will put his angels charge over you. His presence will be with you at all times if you want it. Moses told the Lord, he said, "I won't go with these people through the wilderness if your presence does not go up from here with us." And our attitude should be, "Lord, there's no way we can go through this tribulation without your presence." His indwelling spirit will be with you that brings supernatural giftings as well as it's the spirit of wisdom. You're going to need wisdom to live in these days. It is the spirit of understanding, spirit of might and power, strength in the Lord. Many other things, spirit of supplication. His wings are going to protect you. We give an imagery over and over and over in the Word of God so that God says, "How many more ways can I say it? I'll gather you under my wings as a mother hen gathers her chicks." He himself will be your supply. He himself in the Word of God, he's called my fortress, my strong tower. He's my shield. He's my deliverer. And think about all of the names of God. Every one of these are things that you can study and you can fill up your arsenal of faith. Because the names of God, these are just a few. But his names are his promise to us. In Jehovah Jireh, he is our provider. He will provide what we need. Jehovah Rapha, he is our healer. When the medicine supply is cut off, we need to know him as Jehovah Rapha. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is our peace that passes all understanding. He is Jehovah Rohi, our shepherd. And as a shepherd in the time of tribulation, he will give guidance to his sheep and he will lead us to still waters. He is Jehovah Shammah, ever present one, and El Shaddai, God Almighty. All of these things are given us in the Word of God that we learn to know him in these ways and to depend upon him. How much of these things do you know? Are you one of the sons of Issachar? Do you have understanding of the times in which you're living? You don't have to become a scholar. I want to stress that. But Jesus said these words. Turn to 2 Timothy. You know this by heart. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit. See, we spend a lot of time talking about things in the Word of God that don't get us anywhere. To the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. How? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Another translation says, study to show yourself an approved worker. Rightly dividing the word of truth. We call ourselves disciples of Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be a disciple? It means to be a disciplined one. A follower and a learner. A follower and a learner. It's not a long message today. I'm going to actually end right here. It's to tell you today, these things matter. I cringe when I hear a cavalier attitude about them. These things matter. They are life and death for the people of God. And they can mean life and death through you for someone else. We need to know what's coming. We need to discern the times around us. We need to be aware. We need to be smart. Most of all, we need to depend upon the Spirit of God to give us understanding, to discern these things and understand what is taking place. We do not need to be overcome with fear. We do not need to be overwhelmed by it. We do not need to watch the news and watch it too much or watch it and be saying, oh, I'm so worried. I'm worried. I'm worried. I'm scared. We do not need to be worried. We do not need to be fearful. We need to be strong and courageous in the Lord. We need to get our footing on solid ground now, not later. We need to understand the times, the signs of the times. We need to be able to see what is a sign today that's happening. What is a sign that is happening today? What is the end result, the coming of the Lord, and is my heart ready? Am I looking for His coming? He says, Paul said, there's a crown of righteousness for those who long for His appearing. Who long for His appearing. Are we waiting for His coming joyfully? All of these things matter. Don't be cavalier. I'm going to close in prayer. Father, I pray, Lord, for the ones that hear me today and following, Lord God, in this recording. I pray, Lord, that You would take away all I've overused this word, but all of this nonchalant attitude, a cavalier attitude. Lord, that we would not be lighthearted about any of these things. We would not be dismissive of them as though they don't matter. Lord, we would take these things very seriously. And within each one here, the scope of their time and their ability, that You would help them to gain understanding and knowledge in the Word of God. Lord, that we would hear especially the words of Jesus when He describes these things that are coming on the earth. And He says, watch therefore. Watch and pray. That You may escape. Lord, help us, Lord, that we would be kept in Your safe place, kept under the shelter of Your wings, that we would be guided and led by You during the times that are coming. Lord, for these are fearful times for those who don't know You. And for those who know You but don't follow through and have any knowledge of what is there for them in the Word of God. Lord, help us to be good students of Your word, rightly dividing the word of truth, and give us feet, Lord, that are grounded in your word, that we can stand strong in this hour, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to close out the live stream. We wish all of you who have been with us this morning a week of blessing in the Lord and growing in Him.